We're here.
Hello.
Howdy ho.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me on our podcast.
On our podcast? Well, welcome, Josh.
And I'm here too.
I'll do the
I'll do my
favorite Bill Hicks intro. He's like, it's great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here.
Welcome, Forrest.
Hello. What's Bill Hicks doing now these days?
He died back in 93 of pancreatic cancer.
So. I know. I just wanted to hear it again. I think it's so funny.
You're a dull scumbag. I'm going to be crying myself to sleep tonight thinking about him, and you did it just for your enjoyment.
You know, comedic genius.
Thank you.
You're so cool.
Did you see that Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to go to PC?
Every time I read that, I always want to say R2-D2.
I know, RDR2.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Going to PC and Stadia, which everybody kept saying, when's it going to PC? Mm-hmm. No one asked for it on Stadia, but we figured eventually it would end up on PC, much like Grand Theft Auto did. I think everyone's clamoring for mod support for it. That's the main reason that everyone wants to see it there. So, have you ever messed with the mods for Grand Theft Auto?
No, I haven't either.
It's one of those things that I've seen it on sale 101 times on all the websites, but it's just something I've never ever played with.
Modding community for that. There's disaster mods that bring in tsunamis, and you have to scramble to the rooftops to survive.
What's the fun in that? I am the disaster.
Whatever. I mean, it's true, but there's another mod that I've seen where it turns the entire map into a post-zombie apocalypse.
That's cool.
The mod is so extensive that some of the buildings are toppled over. There's vines growing on the buildings.
Nice.
And you have to make your way from point A to B, like from the bottom of the island to the top of the island to, I think, reach a rescue ship or something. But there's no cars. It's all on foot, and you have to survive zombies and stuff. It's a mod somebody made in their basement, and it's amazing.
That's cool. Yeah, I remember the first Red Dead Redemption had a DLC separate. Can't quite remember what it was called, but essentially you were fighting zombies.
The Undead Nightmare or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say Lost in Nightmares, but that's the thing.
And you could get the four horses of the apocalypse.
Yes.
Not the horsemen.
The only two that were worth a damn were War and Death. War, if you ran past enemies, they would catch on fire. But Death, if you ran past enemies, their heads would just pop off.
Aw. I would more prefer if they fell down and withered away. I'm just saying, if I was Death Incarnate.
Right. It's not coming out until November 5th.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's not that long. Unless you're on Steam, then you got to wait till December. They're gonna wait till then to push it.
Take that, Steam players. I am a Steam player.
Well, Steam has such a huge modding community.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supportive. They're not just trolls. They're like, oh, no, what you got to do is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking out for each other, which is really kick-ass.
Yeah, Steam is the only place I'll download mods on my PC, the very rare chance I play on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like Epic Store is also going to get it, but they're going to get it on day of launch for PC. So there's a lot of people complaining about the Epic Store right now. I see it both ways. I see Epic Store trying to be competitive and trying to offer, you know, because people are mad. They've been mad over other debates too, with, you know, them saying, coming in and going, hey, we'll host your game on ours and do it for a lot less than Steam does it for, which, you know, is competitive in that frame too. But Epic's also taking that extra step of trying to make it exclusive to theirs for, you know, a year or, you know, sometimes even longer, and people are getting mad over that. And their company. It's the same way PlayStation makes exclusive, you know, deals. You know, Destiny has exclusive DLC that you only get on PlayStation first. Xbox did it with Call of Duty forever. You know, and there's games that have done that, like the Tomb Raider series. The Tomb Raider series was, you know, play it first on Xbox, wait a year before you get it on PlayStation. So it's not like it's something new.
Yeah, and even Skyrim, you can only download mods for it on Xbox, or at least custom mods. Like in PS4, you have mods, but it can't be from any outside source. You can't
That deals with PlayStation licensing. They don't want people getting in their source code and stuff like that.
I know, but even, it's still a little
obnoxious. I understand how... I mean, that's why you got to play it. Really, if you want the full extent, it's got to be PC.
Yeah, if your PC can handle it, unlike mine, with the frame rate of a PowerPoint slideshow.
You know, I played on Xbox, and I have plenty of mods on it, but it's only a 5-gig limit.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the modders I watch on YouTube, they'll have 230 gigs worth of mods. You know, I mean, their game looks downright amazing. It blows any other version of Skyrim out of the fucking water.
Well, Skyrim ain't exactly, you know.
Well, and I was curious about that because these modders, you know, they've made all these graphics updates, overhauls, all kinds of features that they've added. And I'm going, you know, surely Bethesda could have made this. If they'd have took maybe an extra year, they could have added these things in and did it themselves. And I don't know if it's just a time constraint or if they try to make something vanilla enough. Well, now I think about it, they have to make it optimized on a maximum number of platforms.
Well, and also keep in mind, Bethesda's always been known as modder-friendly. So they probably did make a very vanilla game. That way modders could...
Well, I was just thinking about it, because like you say, not every PC is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if they make their stuff all image and graphics heavy, not every computer is going to play it.
That's what Doom 3 did. It was so advanced, most computers couldn't play it when it was first released.
Yeah, the same thing with Crysis. Crysis was that, like, this is the leap forward for everybody.
That game is still so graphics heavy, as far as I know. I think I seen a meme the other day. It says, PCs by 2025 should be able to play Crysis Part 1 at maximum setting. Because it's just so graphics heavy. I mean, it's a beautiful game. Oh, it's gorgeous.
If only the game itself was that fun.
Yeah.
It is pretty sparse.
It's just run-of-the-mill.
I played it when I very, very first got a gaming laptop. It's been a few years since I've had this. Probably 4 or 5 now, actually. But when I first got my gaming laptop, it would run Crysis at Ultra. And I was kind of impressed by that. And then I sat there, played it, and I'm like, I was worried about playing this game for absolutely nothing. There was far better games than this to play. And I wasted all this time worrying how great this game might be. And
the AI enemies are about dumber than a box of rocks.
Right.
They really are.
Right.
They're dumb as hell.
I remember when you first got into Crysis, Josh, you would not stop playing the damn thing. And I would be in there watching you, and I'd be like, okay, so he's got a bow now. Okay, so when's it get good?
Right.
And I'm the typical, like, fanboy gushing over it. I'm like, yeah, but I could kill him from a distance and stealth, and they'll never know it was me.
No way. Metal Gear Solid can do that, too.
And then I had Part 2 on the 360, and you could definitely tell that they had backed the graphics off of it because of the problems they had with the first one. And then by the time 3 came out...
I remember Crysis 3 looking really good.
It looked pretty good, but same thing. I had it all on 360.
I also noticed that they're going to remake House of the Dead 1 and 2.
Okay.
Please, God, don't remake the acting. I love it.
I'd say we got a chance at then keeping it, but yeah. I kind of wonder how they're going to, if it'll be, I believe, on the Switch, and they're going to use the Joy-Cons for their guns, but I don't know. House of the Dead, pointing and clicking at the screen or pointing and pulling the trigger just isn't the same as having a full-on gun to point at the screen back in the day. Which, you know, that technology's come a long way now. They've made light guns now that do work with flat screens, so...
Only took them 20 years.
I know.
Longer than that, probably.
Anthem. I noticed on a recent sell on Best Buy, I always get updates on it. It was down to $12, $11.99.
I have recently made a lot of memes hating on Anthem. But I have to be honest, the times that we were playing Anthem together, I really quite enjoyed it.
We should have been playing Destiny.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I mean, it's the same thing.
Speaking of Destiny, they've got the two. Destiny 2's got the new light. It's basically the base model game plus the first two expansions, Curse of Osiris, and I can't remember the second one that they put out. But that's basically all it is. and it's free now to everybody. They are really trying to drum business back to them.
Okay. Well,
did Peter Dinklage actually try this time?
Well, they cut him after the, they cut him in the first one.
Yeah. I know, that's pretty hardcore. I can't believe they actually did that.
I loved his voice. I thought it was, I love Dinklage. I thought it was great.
Dinklebot, yeah. Steve's got a a ghost that's still Dinklebot's voice. Mm-hmm. It was like the collector's edition.
That's kick-ass.
Yeah, and it says like, we woke in the hive and stuff like that.
I don't get what the whole uproar was because he's playing a robot. Of course he's not going to have a whole lot of friggin' emotion.
People forget that even voice actors, they still have to take direction because it's the director's vision. It's what he thinks. So the actor can only work within the limits of what the person wants.
Unless you're Mark Hamill.
Yeah, then I guess you can do whatever you want.
But the first Destiny, though, when Dinklage was on screen doing the bot, he still sounded, I thought he sounded, you know, robotic and stuff like that. I think too many people were so used to Guilty Spark.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
I think people seen Guilty Spark, because Guilty Spark was kind of a motor mouth.
Right.
And, you know,
very emotive.
And very emotive. And Dinklebot played it low-key, and I think that was better in a way.
Right.
Because it wasn't just, you don't have Guilty Spark 2.0 or 3.0 in this instance. This is something completely different, even though you know that that's where they got the idea for the ghosts.
Right, okay.
And even Guilty Spark is with you for maybe 2 hours of Halo 1. Would you stand him for a multiplayer-only game that is hours and hours and hours long? Would you want Guilty Spark with you that
long?
And
him being your only source of...
Yeah, through loading screens he's talking to you. Right. While you're fighting things he's talking to you.
He's explaining everything. He's your guide through the universe.
Yeah.
And he's the one that teaches you.
In a sense, yes. I mean, you've got your head, like, you know, your the... Oh,
don't you say the Grimoire.
No, the Grimoire was total garbage. I didn't play enough of 2 to know how the Grimoire turned out, but the first one, like for you to have to stop what you're doing, load up a web page and look that shit up, fuck that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you now, honestly, with it being free now, I may play it. It just, I always had a problem paying for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe going free to play is the right way. I can't argue that fact. But I mean, because you had part one, I never paid for it, so I played on it on your profile, but I never paid for any of the DLC because I didn't want to pay for it.
It wasn't worth it.
But by making it free to play, I mean, because do you remember Warframe when it first came out?
Yeah.
It was like every other game, you had to pay for it.
No, Warframe originally launched on PS4 for free.
I did not know that.
Yep. It actually came out at launch of PS4 really close because it was one of the few titles that I had on my PlayStation.
And that
at the
was
time.
Like 6 or 8 years ago, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So games like Warframe were kind of ahead of the fucking curve.
Yeah.
They knew what was coming and they jumped on it.
Well, and it still goes strong today.
I think there's going to be spaceship combat added to it.
Yeah. I haven't touched Warframe since, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of the Guyver suit.
Right.
It's what it reminded me of, really. You were kind of like a space ninja or whatever.
Yep.
And,
Guyver! Darzer!
Darzer!
I haven't touched it since, but it was neat. I mean, I could see the appeal.
We need a Guyver episode.
I could see the appeal of running around in that and doing things in it, but I've heard that it's gotten a lot better since I messed with it, and it's one of those I keep thinking, maybe I'll check it out. You know, it's on Xbox and stuff, too.
I've had it on there about a year, and I played, I think, the first story arc. You go against some general or some colonel or something like that, some rogue military or enemy.
Warframe has a story?
Yeah, there's a... And sorry, I fell hook, line, and sinker for that one. I did. I fell for that one.
Would you like to buy some cloud insurance?
Look at them clouds up there just plotting. Dude, tomorrow. I know. So I got on there, and I played through these story missions, and you could see that those graphics and those designs were clearly outdated because I had seen other footage of the new stuff that had been added later, and you could tell that they had upped their game up. So it's kind of like World of Warcraft. You know, you have all these expansions that keep adding. I couldn't imagine trying to start playing WoW now. Because you're like...
Well, they've got vanilla WoW now. They started a vanilla WoW server. So you can go back to day one WoW. So if all of that, what they have now is almost overburdening or overcumbering on you, you can go back and play just straight up vanilla WoW. So
all I want is that's vanilla WoW, but with the one expansion with the Kung Fu Panda.
No.
I can't believe that was a thing, by the way. It was a thing.
No, it's not like the Kung Fu Panda. No, I know what you're talking about.
Right.
So, yeah. And I went onto the Warframe map, and most of your missions, you know, start on Earth. But then, like, you can go all the way out past, like, Neptune, it looks like. And each little dot on your trail is the new mission. And there's probably, like, 200, 300 missions now.
Wow.
So... I felt pretty overdaunted on that one, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to play this anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to go play Event Horizon instead.
Well, it turned into...
Event Horizon.
it, like a lot of games, turned into a grind, because if you want certain weapons and stuff, you have to collect the materials, and then you can have your ship build the materials in the forge, and then you can put your components in there, and then it'll still tell you, like... Build time, 36 hours.
That's what I hate in games.
Right.
I got the shit. Just make it for me.
Or you could pay this money.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to wait all that time.
I, as far as I can tell, even in Warframe, for some of the items, you can't do that.
Hmm.
You still have to...
Wait your turn, huh?
You still have to grind it out.
Destiny 2 is one of those games that really pushed beyond... what the first one did as far as the mechanics and really tightened up what the first one got wrong. But even at the end of the first one, they had fixed a lot of the issues that people had with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I didn't play with the same group of guys. I had kind of fallen off of playing as much, so I didn't talk to people as much. And it was one of those things where I didn't have the draw to play it again because I didn't have the community to play with again. And it... that was what Destiny was to me. It was you play with a community. And without friends to play with, those games suffer so much. The same with Warcraft. If you don't have someone to do raids and stuff like that with or do missions and stuff, it just taxes you. It's just like, I don't want to go to work.
Well, one of the things about Anthem was playing with randos.
Yeah.
You're playing with randoms. And it would be like us three, and we'd be playing together, and we're playing with a fourth random, and he's just hauling ass through it. We haven't even got a chance to finish what we're doing now, yep. And this guy's already at the next point jumping up and down like, come on, guys, got to go, got to grind. And what people were doing is they would do the raids, and there's three sections to where you get rewards as you play the raid. Well, they would just skip the final boss battle because it would take like 30 minutes to beat the boss. So they would get to the second point where you can collect rewards and then log out. And they would grind the first half of that level just because they could get two chests of rewards and then quit and start over. So they were... I mean, if you're thinking about it from an efficiency perspective, yes, that's cool. But still, at the same time, it's just kind of dirty. And then, so now you're playing with this fucking rando guy who gets to a certain point, and he's like, bye! And then he's gone, and you're like, now I have to fight the boss with my friends. And then your friends are like, you know what? We're going to do what he's doing. And then you're stuck there at the final boss. You're like, well, I'm not going to beat this.
See, Destiny kind of had a failsafe in a way for that, because there was only items that you could get by beating the end of the raid bosses. And you needed six people to do the raids anyway. So when you got to the end of it, you wanted to finish Destiny. I mean, you wanted to finish the raid that you were working on, because you may never see that item unless you're at the end. You're at the finish line. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and that's smart. It keeps people from grinding it out. Keeps people from quitting on you.
Because
you need repercussions like that.
Yeah.
I mean, games nowadays, when they find out, like in Elite Dangerous, they had a new update in September.
What game?
Shut up. And someone,
don't you mean Event Horizon?
Someone found a fucking exploit where you could buy a certain new material added to the commodities market. You could buy it at the station and then sell it at the exact same station for billions of dollars. So people were making like hundreds of billions of dollars an hour playing. They just sit at a station and they would just buy the commodity, sell, buy and sell. And they were making hundreds of billions of dollars.
That's how you get rich in Fable.
Because it was so game-breaking, the Frontier Development team came in and they're like, yeah, we've patched that and we took your money away because...
Okay, that's kind of dirty.
Well, you got to think about it. Every time there's an update, people find exploits, and then they patch them out. But none of them have been able to make you earn hundreds of billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. So here's what they should have done. They should have went in and bought every filthy thing they could have and hoped that they couldn't take it. I guess they probably would have went back and looked at the log and seen, oh, these are all bought on 9/9/19 or whatever.
So it's nice that they can keep an eye on your game and tell you what you can and can't do.
Yeah, it's nice, big brother.
If it's game-breaking, it's game-breaking. It's one thing if it's an exploit and it lets you get a little bit ahead, and it's like, this is kind of unintended gameplay, but you only made $5 million, or you made $200 million an hour or something. But like $100 billion an hour, that's insane. That's truly game-breaking.
Yeah. I'm a little guilty of doing that in Grand Theft Auto 5. Back when it first started, modders were putting in... There was a guy who put a crazy bounty on his head. My cousin was so happy because he's like, oh, I just went to the server where a guy was dropping money and I have a couple billion dollars. I'm like, oh, that's nice. I just killed a guy and got 67 trillion out of him. He's like, you're full of shit. So I sent him a message online. I sent him exactly the numbers with comma and all. And he's like, I don't fucking believe you.
He killed a dude and got 67 trillion. What did that guy do? That's a hell of a bounty.
No kidding.
That's more than bank fraud, I'll tell you that right now.
I could clear up the national debt like 4 times with that.
Now, did they ever clear that out?
They did, but I got to keep all my shit.
See, now that's kind of cool, but at the same time, kind of sucks.
It does suck, because I needed to finish modding my shit.
Well, I remember because on the 360, you had to change your IP address to something, or you'd have to select an IP address.
That's right, I vaguely remember that.
And that would send you to certain servers, and like you would just stand there, and bags of money would just spawn, and you just had to collect them. And of course, the development team took care of that eventually. But
well, I mean, there were good mods like that, but then there were the people who would spawn in tanks, and there would just be giant tank fights in the middle of a city. But they wouldn't target each other; they'd target you because you didn't have a tank.
Right, exactly.
Do you remember that?
You're not one of us. Yeah, I remember watching you fight a guy like that once.
Yeah. Oh God, it was barrels of fun.
I think it is time to do the deed.
The deed. What's the deed?
Tenacious D.
The tenacious. You know what? As we talk about this franchise, like it, every time I look at their cover of the original, it reminds me of a tenacious, like something Tenacious D would do.
Yeah, I normally have to have a picture to, you know, keep myself in the groove and in the mood. I chose the Doom 2 cover because that is the most metal fucking cover ever.
And now we are talking about
tonight at 11.
Doom.
Where do we start, Forrest?
Well, let's take you back to the mystical time of...
Once again, you're pretty much the de facto expert amongst us. Mm-hmm. We've dabbled.
Isn't it funny, the two of us that lived through the complete Doom lineage.
We should be the experts.
Yeah, and he's the one that we look to for this.
Well, there's been many, many things that I've introduced Forrest to when he was younger. And I was, you know, quote unquote, I was at least involved and knew what was going on, but I wasn't an expert. And then here we are years later. I'm like, Doom? I think I remember playing that like on DOS or something, you know? And then here he is. He's like, well, actually, we're back when, you know, and he just, the fucking prude that he is. You're not a prude.
Am I? Anyway.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
So, yeah, Doom released in 93, and I could spitball a month, but I won't. It was cool. I mean, it was all right.
It had monsters and guns and stuff.
No way.
Yes way.
What?
I had a PC around that time when Doom came out, but it was nowhere near capable of playing Doom.
Isn't that ridiculous? Because now you can get Doom on your phone.
Oh, you can get Doom on...
on anything, pretty
on
much.
On just about anything. There was a toaster that would play Doom. So, yeah.
Was and there's the guy who converted his toaster into a Nintendo or something?
There was a guy that also has one of those smart fridges, and he converted it a way to play Doom on it.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, even your appliances can play Doom.
Doom is about one of the most fun games ever. I know you were saying earlier, Josh, that you have a little trouble getting back into it, but...
I always do. But once I'm in the groove, I'm like, I fucking love this game.
It is so hard to put down.
It was simple, though. Like, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
no, you're fine. You're not hurting my feelings.
It was super simple. Like, you know, you moved in a semi-3D space, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't look up and down, but... Just moving forward, backward, and left to right, being able to strafe and move forward and backward and, you know, shoot, that was it. That's all you needed for that game.
And you hauled ass.
I was going to say the speed was always a deciding factor in how fun it mm-hmm. was because it didn't feel like it was taking you forever to get from A to B.
No.
Some of the levels are just gigantically massive, but you can cross them in no time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can just get from A to B, and that's part of the allure, too, because you're fucking running and gunning.
Yeah, you have to dodge fireballs. You got to
dodge
and weave and get through enemies. You got to take them out in a certain order because the certain order.
You know, and then you're like fighting the cyber demon, and not only is that, but then there's like spider masterminds everywhere, and mm-hmm. there's imps firing at you, and then there's barons of hell that just want to smash you to, you know. So your character really has to haul ass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a human alive that could survive some of those battles. You would have to be the Doomslayer.
Probably Vin Diesel. He could do it.
I don't know about that. Chuck Norris, I mean, but he doesn't count.
Yeah, but The Rock couldn't do it, clearly.
No, he just turns into a giant demon thing at the end of...
He turns into a meth head.
Dude, remember Doom 3 when you're getting ready to fight Sarge? And you'd be like, Sarge is coming.
Yeah, and you walk into the room and he's like, welcome to the mess hall, Marine! Charges up a BFG.
You're like, oh shit! Shit, run!
God, I wish that fight was actually good.
It's weird to think, too, because, you know, everyone thinks of Doom as being that quintessential kick into the first-person shooter, but, you know, it was basically based off of Wolfenstein 3D.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which was then in turn based off of...
Catacomb.
Yeah.
Which was then in turn based on another PC game that was just wireframe. I can't remember what it was called, but it was wireframe, like black screen, colored wireframes. You were a tank shooting other tanks.
Right.
And that was one of the very, very, very first 3D games.
Okay. I remember that really reminds me of a Star Wars arcade where you actually had the...
Mm-hmm. It was a lot like
the
that,
flight
yeah.
sticks
yeah.
and you could stay... Oh, man. I used to play that at the arcade all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
But, yeah, knowing that Doom came so early is kind of a testament to just how good it is because Wolfenstein is not really that fun to play anymore. But Doom just kind of outlives its own legacy in just being fun. It's like Mario. You love going through Mario as fast as possible. It's just how you play Mario.
Yeah, it's part of it.
Wolfenstein, though, you know, I've always had kind of a fascination with the original Wolfenstein 3D because it, you weren't just, you know, it wasn't just senseless killing. I guess it was in a way, but... You know, you were fighting Nazis during the whole deal, and it feels a little bit more surreal when you're sitting there using your pistol, you know, shooting a Nazi, opposed to, you know, just wiping out Hellspawn left and right.
Yeah, there's a bit of a tonal shift there.
Right. And Doom was kind of one of those games when, you know, when I was younger and seen it, it kind of, you know, it wasn't scary, but it was still one of those games that kind of had that grit to it that almost made you a little... Not scared, but, you know, Resident
uneasy,
Evil.
Uneasy.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of those games go for, and that's why we play a lot of those games.
Right.
Because of the uneasiness.
I'll be honest, I was a little spoiled because the first Doom game I ever played was Doom 64, our cousin JD's copy. And when I went back and played the original Doom for the first time on the Doom 3 10K Special Edition,
mm-hmm.
which is now being used as a coaster, as you can guess, it didn't look the same. It wasn't scary. It was brightly colored and lit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything made cool noises, but it wasn't scary in any way. I mean, until you get to hell, and then it does get a little under your skin.
Right. Well, Doom 64, because of JD,
mm-hmm.
that was my first intro.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, when did that one come out? 97?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had a computer before that. And I, you know, so my first, I did have a Super Nintendo and a Nintendo and stuff, but. Never had a PC,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have YouTube and stuff like that. We didn't have the...
What?
Yeah, we didn't have the, you know, the intrawebs. So everything was just... It was word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That was how you played. And I heard many stories. I think it was on the Doom 3 special edition. It had some interviews with Carmack, John Carmack, and other stuff. And they were talking about how being in college, you would hear like, ooh, ooh, in people's dorm rooms down the room because they were playing fucking Doom at 2 in the morning. So, I mean, really a cultural phenomenon. Even Bill Gates. Remember, he had that commercial where he went up in front of a green screen and he was wearing the freaking... That's it was not him.
No, it was
the, not him at all.
That was the cheesiest trench coat he could have worn with a double barrel shotgun, which was not in the first Doom.
Right.
God damn it, Bill Gates, get your shit right. God, you'll never be successful that way.
But he come out and he made that commercial and he's talking about how Doom's awesome and it plays on Windows 98.
Did you guys see that they're making a TV series based on this?
No.
On Bill Gates?
No, on the Lords of, I think it's called the Lords of Doom or something like that. And it's gonna it's gonna tell the story of John Carmack and John Romero. Yeah, they're gonna talk about all the whole Doom, how Doom started and all that stuff. I'll have to look up the name of that. But
I'd be interested.
I would too.
I think it's gonna be like on USA or something like that.
USA but, up all night.
But yeah, I'm kind of shocked that you know that this is the kind of stuff that that we come back and we're like, oh, they're gonna make a TV series out of this, and people will probably be like, what the hell, why would we care about these guys sitting around making computer games,
and we're sitting here with like knees clapping together, fucking cold sweats, like yeah I must know, Carmack, tell me your secrets.
You know, and that was the same way with I'm trying to remember the not Pirates of Silicon Valley, which I did really enjoy. There was another there was a book that circulated around a while back that was basically the Super Nintendo versus the Genesis, and they really were talking about making it into a TV series and or a movie. And I looked forward to seeing something finally come out about that, but I haven't heard anything on it lately. But
the first kind of movie like that I could think of came out in like 2007, and it was called The King of Kong. And it was about the original world record holder trying to take his title back from the guy who stole it from him in the 80s or something along those lines. Never got to see it. I really wanted to.
King of Kong was a good movie. It's got some conflicting issues with it because the guy that they're making the documentary on, his name's Steve Wiebe.
That's right.
Yeah, and Wiebe is going up against...
It was like Billy something, didn't it?
Billy Mitchell.
That's it.
For all intents and purposes, I'm going to say this here. This is my definitive answer on Billy Mitchell. Fuck Billy Mitchell.
He existed.
Rude.
Yeah, I know it's rude, but that dude is a jerk. Every time you see him, he's trying to pretend like he's this heel. He's not pretending. He just is a heel. Like, he's got this hot sauce empire that he quotes. His mommy and daddy gave it to him. Okay. He's not like... The only thing he had going for him was he was really good at video games. So, if you guys don't know about Billy Mitchell, he got kicked out of the Hall of Fame. Like, he got... Guinness Book of World Records has rescinded his titles because they caught him using emulation machines for world records, I believe, on Donkey Kong.
I was going to say, because I had heard someone was a cheater.
But even if you rescind his title, somebody else beat Billy after that, and I can't... The name escapes me. Somebody else holds the title, and I don't
probably
think
it's... Probably a 12-year-old.
Yeah. They could be. I don't think it's Wiebe. But
what was his name again? Billy Mitchell?
Billy Mitchell.
Wasn't he portrayed by Peter Dinklage in the movie Pixels?
Yes, he was. That's exactly who he... I'm the Fire Blaster.
Yeah.
That's who... That's basically Billy, an embodiment of Billy Mitchell for you.
And I was going to say also, that was meant to be a joke. And then, and you're like, actually, Josh, you're technically correct.
You are
kind of correct.
Yeah, it is. If you look at Billy Mitchell's hair and look at Fire Blaster's hair,
mullet looking kind of.
Yeah,
it's all because in Pixels he uses that cheat code, which I think is ridiculous. How could a real life guy use a cheat code in a video game versus aliens from space?
Okay, no one ever said that movie was good.
Anyway, Dinklage cheats, and then that forfeits us in the battle with the aliens.
Yeah, we lose the Pac-Man competition is what happens. And I like how I say we, like that's some kind of...
Like it happened to us.
Right.
Like it was Independence Day and the whole world got destroyed over
Sounds kind of like real-life nationalism.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, well, if we didn't have to save the French twice, it's like... Not Dave. Oh, man, the pressure's on now. Doug Stanhope talks about that. Yo, if we hadn't had to save the French two times, he's like, oh, you and I, Dave, you and me saved the French twice? As far as I remember, what were we doing last night? Oh, yeah, getting shit-faced drunk last week. I don't remember saving any French from any war.
Right.
You know, taking credit for people that are for feats that someone else did.
That's why I love David Cross. Because I'm proud to be an American. Well, not me, but my neighbor's kid. He's got to pay for college.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really? You want to grab a gun? Well, there's a gun. Grab one from over there. Plane leaves in 10 minutes. Oh, you got a show to do in Branson. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear with all the flags
waving
and flapping in my ear.
Yeah, I love it.
It was called Masters of Doom. That's the show that's going to feature Romero and Carmack. And
looking at the dates... I always forget how often a Doom game came out. We got 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 02, 04, 05, 09, 12, 16.
You know how to count, except you skipped a few.
I'm just reading those things.
But we've seen a lull. After Doom 64, the Doom roguelike didn't pop up till 02. I mean, you have a good five-year span there where we don't see anything.
Nothing new, but everyone was still playing those games. Mm-hmm. Everyone was still playing. To this day, JD will boot up when he gets in a mood. He'll play Doom 64.
Well, the big reason Doom was so popular in the first place is because the modding community, just like Skyrim. Doom started it. Like, that was the... Just like Super Metroid is the big speedrunning game, Doom is the big modding game. It has so many... unique and kick-ass mods, and some pretty lame ones too. Like there's one called H Doom, which is apparently like a porno parody of Doom while you're playing Doom.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. And yeah, like all the Barons of Hell.
Like everything in the game is a chick, and you can do like porno fatalities on them or something along those lines. And I think you have like a dildo as a weapon.
What was that one Doom you used to play? Where it was insane difficulty.
My favorite part of this conversation, just to interrupt, was he just said, you can use a dildo and do some fatalities on them. And you looked straight-lace into him and started the conversation. No crack of the smile. No nothing. Like, this was completely silly. You're like, oh, I can understand them using a dildo on a Doom chick.
Anytime, if it's even remotely pornographic, I'm so desensitized to it now.
I know.
That it doesn't even phaze me. Like a tits and ass movie, I don't even care. Because now, at this point in my life, I'm going, right, but he couldn't open that door before because he didn't have the key card yet. That doesn't make any sense. You know, when everyone else
and the
is
dildo
like,
wouldn't fit in that slot either. I don't understand.
You see the knockers on the girl? I'm like, yeah, that's great, but her socks didn't match. Surely the costume guy knew what he was doing, right?
Right.
He had to have known. It doesn't faze me anymore. So you could tell me whatever kind of dirty porn mod there is. Like Skyrim has all those like nudity mods and sex mods, and I'm going.
I'm about to say, are those even like legitimate? I don't recall.
Yeah, those are real mods that people download. There's some mods where for the males you can actually change the size of his wiener, his penis.
Yeah, well, Saints Row the Third did it first.
Did they?
They did.
Okay.
You could do that also in Conan Exile, I believe. Or...
I think I've heard of that too.
Yeah, they had a slider bar for how big your genitalia would be.
Is that
determined they took it out of the console for Xbox, I believe, the Xbox console version.
Okay.
Does it determine how much lamentation of the women you'll...
Lamentation of the women?
I don't think so.
So anyway, I'm desensitized to that shit. But there, man, because when you went unarmed, you could flick them off. You could flick the demons off.
I wasn't playing that. That's Brutal Doom.
Brutal Doom. That's the fucking name of it.
Which I think was a heavy inspiration for the newest Doom game, Doom 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just as flashy as Brutal Doom. You get
you
got the glory kills, which are the same damn thing. You got so much big, cool, kick-ass shit. That's all from Brutal Doom. But I'm not complaining. It might not be from Brutal Doom because Doom 4 was in development for a really long time.
Right.
And the glory kills came from Doom 4.
Okay.
You ever see, they actually leaked a trailer for Doom 4. Did you ever see it?
No, I don't think I have.
It's called Call of Doom for a reason. Call of Duty?
Yeah, Call of Doom, Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, it's basically Call of Duty, except you fight demons.
Okay.
It's a military shooter. Like, there's big triumphant music, and there's a portal, and there's a guy with an eye patch, and everybody's, like, raising their guns in the air. Yeah, we beat him! Does that sound at all like Doom to you?
No. Not normally, no.
Despite my just completely disjointed explanation of
Well, like, the very first intro for Doom 2016, where you're chained up in the sarcophagus, mm-hmm. and that imp or whatever comes after you, he just smashes head in without even thinking about it.
Yep.
No, that whole intro section that teaches you about, you know, they teach you the jumping. It's minimal combat, but it's like, oh, go up there and get that weapon. Here's how you jump. Here's how you double jump. Here's how you do a glory kill.
It's just a good tutorial level.
It's a great intro. Great mm-hmm. intro. And it sets the pace for the whole game, letting you know, like, oh, yeah, this is gonna be brutal.
Sets the pace, sets the tone, sets you up. You're just, it's good.
Now, I never really beat any Doom game. Except for Doom 3 when it came out in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember staying up playing fucking Doom 3 at like 3 in the fucking morning. Scared shitless.
I don't know why that game gets so much hate. I know it's not like a normal Doom game, but it is absolutely amazing for what it is.
It was a step away from the formula.
Right.
They went more for flash and, you know, it was more lighting effects and stuff mm-hmm. like that, which... If you think at the time, Chronicles of Riddick came out, I believe, in 03. And Chronicles of Riddick had that whole, you know, the shadow effects made the game, everything like that. And Doom 3 was that step into, you know, that same feel. You know,
that
the lighting
might be why
effects.
That's why I was interested in it.
The lights bounce off the walls and blah, 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 blah.
Because I played the shit out of the first Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
Well, you know why Butcher Bay looked like that, though, don't you?
No.
Because it used Doom 3's engine.
Okay.
It licensed it out. That's why it looks exactly the same.
Okay. Okay.
Like, but, that's why it's so dark in some spots, but so bright in
right.
others.
Right. Well, in Chronicles of Riddick, you know, number one, I love that franchise. I love Riddick. I love the character.
God, we need more of it.
And I fucking loved how in the game you could use your eye shine.
Yes.
And then you could see in the dark without a flashlight. Oh, that was so good. And with Doom, I guess maybe that's what brought me into it. Because I remember playing Chronicles of Riddick and then playing Doom 3. I wasn't...
Doom 3 could use a damn eye shine.
Yeah. But, I mean, like he was saying, they were trying to create tension through the darkness, and that's why you used a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was BFG Edition. I bought that on 64. On 64. Yeah, I bought it in the past in a different parallel universe.
It happens.
But they added where you could have the flashlight and your weapon up, because in Doom 3 you could... The flashlight was its own.
It was called the flashlight mod. People had modded right. Doom 3 so you could have the flashlight mm-hmm. while you were carrying your gun. And that's what pissed people off about Doom 3 originally, was the fact that you either had a flashlight or you had
right.
a gun.
Yep.
But I mean, so. I see what they were going for. They were building tension.
Oh, yeah.
I did go through the entire game with a right. flashlight, just beating people over the head.
Yeah,
with it.
And I watched you do it too.
It's hilarious.
It's pretty amazing.
About an hour, and then it gets boring. But I had to beat the game with it.
But I never finished Resurrection of Evil. I never...
It's not that great. It's basically showing off, hey, we can do Half-Life 2 stuff, too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a gravity gun in it.
Well, you word it like that, and I'm like, man, I fucking missed out. I need to get back. Because it came with BFG Edition, correct?
Mm-hmm, it did.
So I may have to go back and continue playing
it's
that.
It's not as good. The only good thing about it is that it has unique boss fights, which equate to, like, oh, I'm a Hell Knight, but I don't have a bottom half. I'm a boss fight now. Like, he's just a floating shit like that.
It's funny because the flashlight never really upset me. What pissed me off was going into PDAs and having you mm-hmm. would, because this was 2004, you know, the quote-unquote smartphone wasn't out yet. So you either had a cell phone and a PDA uh-huh. or you had one or the other. And now they're all, you know, it's all one device in your hand. But still... You would have to go through, and that's how you found codes to lockers for mm-hmm. armor and weapons and health. And that's how you found, because sometimes in a character's, an NPC's PDA, you would find out, oh, and I left it in the, like, crane room or something. And that's how you knew where to find shit. But you had to read these PDAs to figure this stuff out.
Yep.
And I always hated it because it was still on the OG Xbox. And every time you would select a PDA to read into, it would then come up and take up the full screen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always a lag. There was a loading lag.
Yeah, you could always tell.
It just drove me up the wall.
It was not seamless in any way.
No.
Even on the PC, it's not quite as seamless.
It was like, oh, I'm going to read this PDA. And then someone walks into your room and they slap you. And they're like, hold on a minute. And then they leave. And then you're like, what was that code again? And you open the PDA again. And that guy comes in. He's like, really? Again? You're a glutton for punishment, aren't you? And he slaps you again and he leaves the room. And you're like, man, I forgot, you know.
And then you're like, oh, yeah. And you just start pushing the button over and over again. But
is this Doom or Duke Nukem?
No, it's H Doom. But going back to the flashlight, they had an interesting little fix for that in Resurrection of Evil. You had the flashlight in Resurrection of Evil, but it was only for your pistol.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you were forced to use your pistol if you wanted to see. So I just went and did not see the game, so I don't know how good it looked.
You just went through and you're like, whatever, I'll turn the contrast up on the TV.
That pistol is absolute garbage.
Or you're like some idiot, you're in your dark room with a real flashlight shining at your TV, hoping that you can see some vestige of a room or a secret door.
I am guilty.
Oh well.
I will say, I think Doom 3 had the best interpretation of hell that any video game or movie has ever produced.
That was my favorite
part
of the whole game.
Yeah, because everything is rusty. It's all broken bricks just floating everywhere. Things form and... Sorry. But
no, you're
anyway.
Fine. When you're in the hell section, I think it's three levels that
it's,
you play
it's,
in
it's
hell.
Only one level in the PC version, but they had to split it up for Xbox.
Okay. So you're down in there, and when you had a stamina bar so you could sprint.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in hell...
It's unlimited.
It's unlimited, and when you look at the bar, it's like on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool as shit.
And... There was actually an in-game, when you read one of the PDAs, some guy mentions it. They call it the hell effect or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really hard to merge like what we would call reality and then base it on other ideas, religious ideas. Like if you go to heaven in your physical form, like if there was a portal to heaven,
uh-huh.
You know, you go up there, it's like, is it any different than it would be if...
Your soul
went up there, or because you're in your physical form, you've skirted the laws, and now you have, you know, whatever. So when you try to write lore for your own game or your movie or your story or your book, you have to flush that shit out. So at least in game, there was an explanation as to why your stamina.
Which I did like.
And that's why I liked playing that whole section, because I could have unlimited sprint, which included your strafing.
I also like how in hell all of the monsters that you find are all blackened and burnt.
Yeah, they're all really twisted and screwed up. And the way the level forms around you, you'll go to certain sections and walls will fall, and then other walls will form up brick to brick. The hell section's awesome.
The first reveal of a hell knight in hell is you just walk into this plain room. You see like a chain gun or something in the middle of the room. You're like, I gotta have that. But this is hell.
Right.
So I'm going to get screwed somehow.
Yeah.
You go forward. Just before you touch the gun, the camera zooms in, and you see a Hell Knight as fucking bricks are just breaking apart, revealing him.
Yes.
Oh, God, it's amazing.
Very cool. So the Hell levels in 3 are by far my favorite.
They are the best Hell.
And, of course, there was only one scare in 3 that really fucking scared me, and that's when you get to the Delta Labs, and you open up an elevator door, and there's nothing but blood and bodies.
Yes.
And you're going... All right, some shit went down here. I missed the part. Welcome to the potty. See you at the potty, victim. And there's a... You walk down the hall, and then every time you get near an overhead light, it pops, and it shows you a flash.
You get a flash of a chainsaw dude.
The chainsaw dude. And there's 3 or 4 lights, and every time it does, it pops, and you're like, all right, that's pretty fucking terrifying.
Yes.
And you go, okay, it's over. And then you turn the corner, and there he is fucking standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ring, 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 comes at you with the chainsaw.
That's the best sequence of the whole
game. It's the best part. It's the best part of the whole game.
I like that even better than the
No doubt, because it's terrifying as hell.
It does redo that later. I don't know if it's random, because sometimes it'll do it, sometimes it won't. Maybe it's a difficulty thing. I don't know. But later, just way later in the level, or in the game, for no apparent reason, after you've gone to hell and back, you just go across this narrow, rickety bridge... And light pops, there he is. You turn around, he's chasing you.
Oh, shit.
I love it. And
I
then,
forgot about that part.
And then once you kill him and you go through the door you're going to go to, there he is again.
Oh, my God.
Dude, Doom 3 was fantastic.
So it had a lot of the good You know, and just taking that to effect, that says really something about the new Doom. Because in the new one, you're unstoppable.
You are the Chainsaw Man.
Exactly. You're the Doom Slayer. Mm-hmm. And as you progress through the game, you find little like computer terminals that have lore from hell. And,
yeah.
And even every demon in hell is like, you don't fuck with the Doom Slayer, dude. You run from him.
Yeah.
You're the boogeyman in hell.
That's what I see. I don't think there is any like canonical connection to the other games, but a lot of people have the same headcanon I had when I first realized it is Doom happened.
Okay.
Doom 2 happens.
And Doom 2 is called Hell on Earth, right?
Yeah. So yeah. They did invade Earth. And then Doom 64 happens, where they go back to Mars because the mother of all demons is resurrecting them. It's like, bitch, please. So they flood it with radiation, but you go back with a squad of Marines, go through hell, kill the mother of demons again, and then you're like, I'm going to stay this time.
Right. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense.
That would explain why you are the Doom Slayer, if they went that route. I don't know if they are.
Right.
You get no explanation as to what you actually are.
Right.
You have an order of knights that protect you. You don't know if they're from hell,
or
what.
There is one section where when you're reading the lore, and they mention that the Nephilim gave you your powers,
which is an angel,
right? Or depending on your lore,
it's either half angel, half demon, or half angel, half human.
Right. 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 But either way, so you've basically been given powers from heaven to just stay in hell and wreck the shit out of demons. Awesome is that?
Which is weird that you get, human guns, human,
right.
Physical weapons and stuff like that.
Well, Doom 64 had the laser.
The Unmaker. The most badass gun name ever.
And don't you have to collect parts for it?
No, you have to find secret levels and secret keys, and eventually those keys, you get like three of them. One of them gives you triple shot, one of them makes it shoot faster, and then one of them makes it like absorb however strong the enemy is, it does more damage to it.
Okay.
Like the Cyber Demon, it'll kill it in like four hits.
Damn.
But a regular imp, it might take a couple more hits.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that last one.
But either way, it's upgradable. That's kick-ass. Yes. That's kick-ass. And that thing is wicked looking.
The thing you think with Doom, though, like Doom now is, it's in your face, it's high octane, it is, really good graphics. Doom 2016 runs really good, even on a moderate PC. It runs very well, and it runs a good 60. It runs really good on my laptop. I'm not saying that I don't have a high-end laptop, but it runs really good on mine, and I was kind of shocked by how well it does
run. I have heard that on the Switch, it dips a bit just because of the number of enemies. I mean, it's expected. It's a Switch.
Right. It's not a full...
Right.
You understand. It's not a full-size console. It's not like that. But if you take the step back and you look where Doom's come from, with Doom... Doom 3 was really good-looking, too. It makes really good games for their time. And really, if you think about it, without id, we wouldn't have the shooter genre the way it is today. Without id, we wouldn't... I don't think Halo wouldn't exist.
I want to pose a question to both
Fortnite
of you.
Fortnite wouldn't. None of that.
Do you feel in modern games that most of them now... How can I word this? Games that id made, those were labors of love. You know what I mean? They weren't just making something to just sell it.
Yeah, it was all passion project.
Right, it was all passion. It was a part of them. So part of them is in the game. So do you feel personally like, if not all, but some or most modern games, do you feel that passion is lost?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not on all of them. A game like Cuphead... There is a little bit of love in a game like Cuphead. Of course, we're not talking about a first-person shooter in a game like that. But there is some... Like, he loved the old cartoon art. He loved the old style, because they always like, we got to keep the character moving.
Felix the Cat.
Right.
Yeah, you have to keep moving for him to be relevant on the screen. So, there's still always going to be a game like Cuphead. There's always going to be a game...
Even Shovel Knight, that's just... Fan fiction for the Nintendo. That's all it is.
I remember watching you play Shovel Knight. It's a pretty amazing game.
I love Shovel Knight.
Because it's a callback to the 16 bits.
Mm-hmm.
But, with with modern memory capacity and stuff, you can put all kinds of features into that game.
And even like Undertale, I know you guys probably haven't played it, but it's
I've watched it played on YouTube.
Yeah,
my niece is obsessed with that game, so.
But for good reason, honestly. I'm not a fan of it myself, but it deserves all the praise it gets.
Right.
But I think it's kind of by nature that you're going to lose passion when you have. When Doom was made, there were like 6 people working on it. Now there's 150 people working on any game at any given time.
Right.
They're not all going to have the same level of passion. They're not going to care as much. They just want a paycheck.
Right. And I never thought about that.
Well, that's kind of a mixed bag if you think about it, though. Because back in the day, games were made in months.
Mm-hmm.
Months. And with a handful of people in a low staff room. And it's because they didn't need the big staff rooms to do that. Doom 93, the original Doom, it didn't take, you know, a building full of people running network cable back and forth between each other, sharing, you know, concepts and blah, 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 and boardroom meetings and this, that, and the other. It just was people sitting down and making concepts and making ideas and putting them in. You got to think, too. Doom 93 had 2D rendered characters in a 3D environment.
Which was new. I mean, for the most part, that was new technology.
But really think about it. How much care did they put into Doom? Because most of those, like the imps and the soldiers, yeah, they were just pixels. But your Spider Mastermind and your Cyber Demon and your Revenants, they were all stop motion puppets. They were real things that they photographed each frame at a time.
Right.
And turned into pixels.
Right.
And they cleaned up the edges sometimes. If you look at the pixel art, it's kind of funny how many mistakes there are. But I find that it's just a much more interesting looking experience to know, because you can tell that it's all stop motion.
Right.
And it looks like it. It looks good for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that there's more passion for that, because they could have easily just drawn a big cartoony spider demon thing.
Right. They could have took the cheap way out. I understand. They could have copped out a bit.
Yeah.
But you take a project like Doom, when they're making, you know, there are 2D rendered characters, the 3D part, 3D world part, you know, it's still on a 2D plane. Like, if you look at it, everything's still flat. There's no real textures to anything. Even a box and stuff like that, it's still just a print image on a flat surface.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you still take what these guys did, and then you advance that a couple years down the road, and we get Quake.
Right.
Which is full 3D rendering in a full 3D environment.
I love Quake. I think at least Quake 1, Quake 2, from then on, I could give two shits less. The first Quake, with its Lovecraftian dark castles, purple sky, constant cloud storms. Oh,
I always got my ass kicked in Quake.
Quake is fucking hard.
Because it's so fast-paced.
Mm-hmm.
I could never. I mean, when we play in the barracks and we play Halo, I always finish top 3 among the barracks. It was just, I don't know. It just. But when it came to Quake, it was so fast-paced. It just, I couldn't register what was going on.
Quake 1 or Quake 3?
I don't remember.
Quake 3 Arena was really big. It was what a lot
that
of people
might be
played.
What I was playing then.
Quake 3 is really fast-paced and really hard to get
hold of.
Yeah,
that might be why then. So, yeah, I always avoided it just because I was always dead last. It didn't matter. it's just funny seeing that dichotomy between two different games. Like, oh man, I fucking rock at Halo. Quake? Yeah, I don't play that.
Well, I mean, everybody makes comparison between Call of Duty and Halo, but they are so completely different games. I suck at Call of Duty, but I tear ass at Halo. So
right. But you know, you look at where games are going. Like, if you use the Doom timeline, from the day Doom's made up until 97, you know, we really didn't have anything in the shooting genre that matched Doom. Nobody touched Doom.
Like, you had console stuff that tried to compete, like GoldenEye and Turok.
Even
Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
And even on the PC, you had a couple other ones.
Yeah, we completely glossed over Duke Nukem, didn't we?
It exists. So,
I don't have time to play with myself.
He basically was a Ash clone is the kind of the...
Right, right.
He was just the 80s distilled into an essence.
Exactly.
Distilled.
Yeah.
Distilled by brewery.
Very good.
Personally, I think Duke Nukem 0 Hour is better than Duke Nukem 3D.
0 Hour was awesome. You could fight me on that. Oh, man, I used to love playing that.
It wasn't even a first-person shooter, but goddamn it, was it fucking good.
Same was the Time to Kill. That was the PlayStation one where it was a third-person shooter.
I didn't even know that one existed. I thought it was a port of 0 Hour because they have the same damn plot. But no, it's not.
And the cops are there's pigs in it that you shoot. Mm-hmm. Yep. Is it the same way 0 Hour is?
Well, they all have pig cops.
And then they'll probably have stripper, what do you call them? Titty bars or whatever you want to call them.
Strip clubs. Yeah, they've all got those too.
Yeah, so, yeah, just generic Duke Nukem go
right,
here. Yeah.
Right.
So,
like, even in Duke Nukem 3D, the first 3D game, you're handing money off the strippers to make them shake their tits. So, and that's on the 64, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I stepped on you. Go ahead.
You can't. I'm 6'2". You're 5'7".
That's not what
He's 5'7", everybody.
That's not what I was talking about.
I don't know what I was saying.
I hate everything about you right now.
Duke Nukem exists.
I don't even want to be near you.
So, like I was saying, though, like, up until that point, up until, we'd had GoldenEye. GoldenEye was the closest thing to give Doom a run for its money in the first-person shooter genre.
And it sold well because it was on consoles.
And Half-Life.
I don't like the first Half-Life.
Half-Life was kind of that thing that made the first-person shooter genre, everyone kind of looked away from Doom for a minute. But if you look at all the... Today, we are still getting Doom. Doom is still a thing.
Yeah, where's Half-Life 3? Huh, Valve?
Well, they still need to finish Half-Life 2 with their episodes on it. So, I foresee Valve using Half-Life as a Hail Mary one day.
I foresee them being allergic to the number 3. Portal 3, Left 4 Dead 3, Half-Life 3. They won't do it.
They are allergic. Maybe they just get sick of their own shit.
Maybe they saw Doom 3 and were like, damn, we can't touch that 3.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe it falls back into kind of like a music artist, when they don't always... They start with a sound that makes them popular, and then they hit a certain level of popularity, and like, well, I don't want to repeat myself. I want to be
Metallica.
Original. Shut up.
Shut up.
And they're like, I have to grow as an artist. I have to be better than I am now.
It's have to transcend what I am today.
What do you got to do? Light's going to part from the clouds. You're going to rise above humanity.
Well, what we did was we used the actual angel wings as the drum beats for this next track.
We used
a guitar made from the wood of Jesus' cross, and that made our sound instantly better.
Oh, that was...
That was Metalocalypse.
Yeah. And this is the guitar made from the wood of Christ's cross. And that's all he says about it. And then they move on. They move on.
It's never a thing again.
But, Doom is always... I always kind of find it shocking that Doom is still relevant today. I find it shocking just because we have Doom Eternal coming out soon.
I'm so hyped.
And people are excited for that game. And now we are on Halo 5... Six.
No, it'd be Halo 6.
Halo Infinite. And people are kind of like, yeah, I might play that.
Well, can you even really say that? Because you also have ODST. You had the two Halo Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You had...
Like, there was stuff, but like mainline entries, because Doom doesn't exactly have spinoffs.
Well, when you think Halo, you think Master Chief. So
yeah.
So basically, we're counting any game that has Chief in it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'd be
and
on
Reach,
6.
Why not?
And
Well, even
he's in it in the end. He's
even GTA does that though, because they had Vice City and Liberty City,
right?
And,
but they never,
yeah.
So they're really like on game 10, but they named
right.
it 5.
Right.
Right, it's just like Resident Evil.
I heard they were gonna do. They were scouting for Part 6. They were thinking Tokyo, and they sent scouts to Tokyo, and they eventually came back and like, yeah, we can't do a game with Tokyo. They're like, the roads are way too complicated. They're like, there's no way we could transfer this city into a game world.
That's why Godzilla destroys it, just because he's sick of the fucking traffic.
Actually, you know what their cash grab would be?
What's that?
Go back to Vice City.
I would love to see Vice City all updated.
Yeah, because Vice City was set in the 80s. I would love to see the 2019 version of it.
You go to a place and you're like, holy shit, this building doesn't even exist anymore.
Right.
Like, where it's been repurposed or the windows are barred. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
All I did in Vice City is I went to the nightclub and just set everyone on fire with the flamethrower. That was my go-to. I'm bored. What am I going to do? I'm going to kill the dancing people is what I'm
going to
do.
I just love going to the mall and pissing off the cops.
Dance for real.
And then listen to Flock of Seagulls as you drive away.
Hell yeah.
Doom is also one of those series, too, that I kind of wish they would have done something different. But after playing Doom 16, I'm very glad they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They really did do something different by doing the same thing, if that makes sense. Because they took the speed from the original. They took just the sheer blood and impact and all that stuff.
They took the graphics and gore from Doom 3 for sure.
Yeah. And they made it to where it's fast. It runs fun. I mean, it's a fun run and gun. Yep. It's a mindless. It's not a game you sit down and you're like, oh, well, there's a lot of intricacy to this game, and right. I, you know,
it's like, no, I'm gonna run around like a lunatic and I'm gonna kill everything in sight.
Yeah, no matter how pretty the graphics are, you're not gonna stop to look at the rocks on fucking Mars.
Doom 16 is my go-to when I'm fed up and I'm bored, or even if I only have like 30 minutes to kill, I'm like, I'm gonna play some Doom.
Yeah, and then you're stuck on a loading screen for 20 of those 30. But that last 10 is really good.
That's the weird part, too, because of all the Doom games that are on that list, even 16, you know, they're all pretty good games for the most part as far as the mechanics and stuff go. But even Doom 16, the multiplayer is never... It's always lacking. It's never quite right.
But that's what I like, because it's not the forefront. The multiplayer is not the point. The point is you killing demons. More time you spend killing other players takes away from the time you spend killing demons.
Right. Well, they've got a game mode. I can't remember the name of it. But once someone finds a power-up, you become a Revenant.
Yeah, Revenant or a Baron of Hell, yeah.
Right, and then you run around and you're like way overpowered and you can just slaughter the other team. That's fun.
The thing I do most in Doom 16 is create maps. You can make levels. It is unbelievable how intricate some of these can be.
Yes. Like,
you can... Okay, you walk through a door and then there's a... Doom or a monster there. You can program that. But then you can also program it to where you can only spawn the monster once you get to the other door, and then that door locks and the other door behind you spawns the monster.
You can basically create your own Doom game.
You can create a level.
Yeah, you can create your own Doom game.
You can put a sequence of events in order, like, okay, well, killing this demon will spawn another one of it, or killing this demon will spawn a bigger version of it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You can set how tough they are, how weak they are. How much damage they do.
You can choose any monster in the game and add it to
anything but a boss.
You were, there was one, I can't remember, you were just fucking around when you first started, and you picked like the smallest room, and you put like 30 Barons of Hell in it. And you had to have invincibility on, or be in creative mode to beat it, because they would just slaughter you.
Oh, no, that was a way to supposedly farm money.
Oh. Yeah,
you have a BFG, and you just unload on the Barons.
Okay. All right, cool.
They have like 2 health apiece, and you just unload.
Especially in 16, you know, you get the BFG, but the ammo is sparse.
You don't get the BFG till like 3/4 of the way through the game.
Right, but I mean, even then...
Mm-hmm. You almost never found it.
Yeah, it has 3 shots.
Yeah.
And once you use up those 3 shots, unless you find more ammo, it's gone. So you really have to pick and choose when you're going to use it. So you most definitely want to save it for the final levels.
Right.
Because you'll get stuck in a room and they'll just spawn demons and it's just a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
So you always want a big friendly giant in there to take care of that.
Yes, most definitely a big friendly giant.
Oh, Roald Dahl.
Stay away, they'll eat you.
I'm just saying I would much rather have Willy Wonka as my Doom partner, but that's just me. Be like, don't touch my chocolate. They touch the chocolate.
Well, see, his level of Doom is more... not scarce or sparse, but subtle. He's like, oh no, stop, please.
Sarcastic.
Help. Yeah, he's...
Hellspawn, eating my chocolate. He's melting it.
He lets you... Willy Wonka lets you kill yourself, is what he does.
Basically. He encouraged you not to, knowing that you full well will.
Right, because he knows who you are. He knows what kind of person you are.
He's a James Bond villain through and through.
But Ian anyway, Fleming's, I mean...
Candyman.
Doom is just a friend. I mean, it's still going.
It is, and it deserves to. That's I love Doom. It has, like, no spin-offs. It is just mainline entries that take 10 years between them. But when they're released, it's always revolutionary in some way. Doom is one of those franchises that consistently pushes the bar.
Doom for the VR, or the VFR, excuse me. I have toyed with getting it, but I hear it's a lot of... it's a lot like a lot of other first-person shooters in VR, where you point and click and you move there, and then you move in the space that you're in and you shoot things, and then you point and click and you move there. And I can't... If I'm going to play a first-person shooter, I want to be able to have free range. I want to move forwards and backwards and not just point and click where I want to be.
Right. There was... I don't remember where I seen it, but someone had made a Skyrim... Because Skyrim VR was that way, where you had to select your area on screen or on your headset. You would see an arrow or like an arch, and then you would hit your button, and then you'd be where you were aimed at. And they had made it and hooked it up to an omnidirectional treadmill.
Yeah, that's right.
For Skyrim. And I was thinking, dude, could you imagine literally running across Skyrim? You're not just sitting on your couch holding the stamina button while you sprint. It's like, no. If you want to move from A to B, you're going to have to run this motherfucker if you want to get there anytime soon.
That's how you lose weight. I remember when Killer Instinct 2013 was announced, people were like, maybe it'll have Kinect support. Maybe we can do ultra combos ourselves in our living room.
Yeah, good luck. It could barely pick up.
And then destroy a TV or a left one.
Yeah, or a fan.
Yeah.
I've done all these things probably with the same lightsaber.
It was a Darth Vader lightsaber. I guess I could have said that.
He's my favorite Ninja Turtle.
Darth Vader. That makes no sense, and I know not why I laughed.
Doom 2.
Thank you.
To save us from it. Doom 2, I have never touched. It looks a lot more like Doom. I've never touched Doom 2. It was one of those, I seen it, and I was like, yep, it's more Doom.
That's what I was playing 20 minutes before the episode to get prepared for it.
Right. But they released master levels for Doom 2 in 95, which shook me. I was just like, it's still one of those, you know, back then you didn't have, you know, extra content for games and stuff like that. Game came on a cartridge and it was sealed and done, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, that was the game.
And for me, who has constantly been a console player, when they finally started releasing, you know, updates for PC games, it was just kind of like, there's more to the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what the master levels were, don't you?
Mm-mm.
They were fan creations.
Yeah.
They were fan creations that the dev team liked so much that they packaged as its own thing. I don't know that you had to pay full price for it. But keep in mind, most of this was just downloaded from the internet. You know, you hook your phone cord up to your computer and you can get it off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Or however the hell that worked. I don't know.
What the hell's the internet?
It exists. But
it's a thing.
Ultimate Doom and Final Doom, Final Doom was a completely different thing altogether. It had its own chapters, I think, and it had its own levels. I think. Don't quote me on that.
But you don't know. We're
spitting them hot facts, aren't we?
What was DRL? Is that Doom Real Life?
That was Doom Roguelike. It was a roguelike Doom. It wasn't like any other Doom.
It wasn't like a barbarian Doom. It was a roguelike Doom.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It wasn't a bard Doom.
I would play a barbarian Doom. Oh, wait, they have it. It's called Hexen.
Oh, man.
I liked mine, Doom and... So, actually, DRL was Doom in Real Life. That's where there was actually a literal invasion from hell.
Donald Trump?
No. And it was all captured on security cameras, so it looked like a Resident Evil game.
Okay. I love those two franchises. I don't want to imagine them mixed.
Right.
I couldn't even picture it.
What kind of a bastard child would they produce?
It says... Basically, Final Doom was released in 96, and it contains all the weapons, items, and monsters from Doom 2 Hell on Earth. It doesn't say...
I'm pretty sure that it's another set of levels, but I think you play as like a different Marine who doesn't have a bunny named Daisy that gets slaughtered.
And there's no Sarge. There's a Corporal, but there's no Sergeant.
There was planned to be a Sergeant Major, but he got scrapped because... That's not a rank that exists.
Gotcha.
I was trying to provoke the military fanboy in you.
It says it consists of 232 level megawads. This is from the Wikipedia for it.
Okay.
Than 1.1 gigawatts.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. You can't travel back in time with 32 megawatts.
And they used the Plutonia experiment soundtrack music used from Doom 1 and 2. So, Doom was released on PlayStation, so...
It's more Doom. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Includes a selection of Final Doom and Master levels for Doom 2, levels combined into one game. So basically, it was Doom 2 with some extra kielbasa
sausage.
Yep, some more sausage links.
Only just a couple years ago, John Romero decided to make his own mod for Doom 2. 20 years after making it,
right?
And he released it. I can't remember quite what it was called, but people were like, wow, this is really cool. It's really well made. But there's better fan-made mods. Why would we play this one when there's better ones?
Right. No, I understand.
Like, I saw a little bit of gameplay of it. It's really dark, and he focuses a lot on cacodemons because a lot of the game is just you hanging over pits, going over narrow bridgeways in complete darkness. And to open doors, you have to, like, shoot corpses that are floating and shit. It's It's neat, but...
It's a cool take on it, mm-hmm. but like you said...
Like, there's better ones.
Even though, like you said, it's his mod, I mean, there's people that spend three times the time he took to make that.
And there's nothing new to it, I think, is what pissed people off. There's no new monsters or anything. This is the guy who made Doom, and he didn't take the time to put anything new into it.
I know there's a few Easter eggs of him in the games.
Yeah, Doom 2, he's the final boss.
Really?
Yeah, Icon of Sin. Supposedly, if you use Noclip, you can run through the thing, and you'll see a picture of John Romero. And when you spawn into the Icon of Sin boss room, you never played it, you don't know what it is. Take that, Mark. But it spouts some gibberish in backwards English that says, I am John Romero, to beat the game you must kill me, or something.
Okay.
So that's then cool. Everybody went to John Romero's house and...
And they started trying to murder him.
They unloaded shotguns into him.
Yeah.
As long as they were super shotguns, we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Doom 2... I like I said, I had zero grounds to ever want to play it just because it looked more of Doom 1.
That's the only thing that bothers me about it is that it's the exact same graphics. No enemy is different in any way.
Right.
The weapons are exactly the same.
It's basically just new levels.
Yeah, it is.
So basically, Doom 2 is Doom 1, only with a little bit extra stuff.
Yeah, just slightly better.
And then Final Doom is Doom 2... With more Doom 2.
With fan-made Doom 2.
So, I should just play Doom 93 and call it a day.
Well, I think...
Unless you really want to play John Romero's version, The Search for More Money.
No, The Search for More Money.
Merchandising. So, I would say that Doom 2, the major upgrade is just level design.
Yeah, because there's levels in Doom 2 where it takes place in cities. Like, you run through city streets, which you could not do in Doom 1.
Right.
The closest thing was the Cyber Demon boss fight.
But, I mean, besides all that, I think better puzzles. Just more fleshed out puzzles and not quite so convoluted. Because mm-hmm. I know Doom, sometimes you have to find a switch. And you're like, where was this? And it might not... sometimes it's just a wall.
Yeah,
there's no mention mm-hmm. that says this might be a special wall. It's you have to run around pushing your freaking action button.
Yeah, and he just keeps going.
I used to do that in Resident Evil all the time because when I first started playing and I had no idea where to go next, I'm like, well, let me look for a clue. Or
I used to do that in my bedroom.
I don't want to hear anything.
But yeah, I remember finding a secret Resident Evil 4. I'm like, Josh, did you find this one red herb in the tutorial level? You're like, dude, there's not a wall in that game I haven't pushed on.
But, I used to play the hell out of RE4. But anyway.
Back when it was good.
So, honestly, Doom, I mean, do we even want to touch the movies?
No, because they both suck.
Yeah. I could not... Well, I tried watching the first 5 minutes of the Doom... who was in it? The Rock was in it.
And Carl Urban.
Yeah.
Played Reaper.
I just couldn't.
Grim Reaper.
Oh, because his name's Grimm.
Get it?
I get it. And Sarge. I mean, I knew immediately. Spoilers. I'll give you a 5, 4.
The Rock's the bad guy.
Guy I hate.
Han Solo dies.
Han Solo dies. Killed by his kid.
But
ungrateful emo child.
Yeah, I mean, which one? But
I knew he would be a villain just because he was the Sarge.
Kylo Ren, yeah, he was pretty bad.
And I had played Part 3, and I knew what happened to the Sarge. So I knew it was coming.
Welcome to the mess hall.
Sarge is coming.
That hallway used to scare the shit out of me.
You're going to die.
Sarge is going to kill you. Listen to this on a ASMR or whatever it's called. That'll be good.
So if you had to pick a Doom, and it was the only Doom you got to play,
Doom 64, hands down.
I'm going Doom 16.
Yeah, this is a
Doom
tough
2016
one.
Is a really damn good game.
This is a tough one because I have a shitload of fond memories of Doom 64, Doom 3, and Doom 16.
I wanted to pick Doom 3, honestly, but my only problem with Doom 16 is that it's the first Doom game that I ever picked up that I put down and did not play again for months. It just got kind of samey and repetitive, and there was a little bit more key hunting than I really wanted. In Doom 3, it flows very well. You're never really lost on where to go.
Right.
But that fucking intro into Doom... That fucking intro, that beginning area you step out.
Like, the first three levels are just masterclass.
And you're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
That's one of the best hooks.
And you're wrecking everything inside.
Yeah, you're just...
Nothing
you
can
are
even,
a one-man killing machine.
Yeah, yes. Nothing can even challenge you. Yeah, and then every time you find more lore, like I said, you'll find terminals, and when you're in the... Because even Doom 16 has a section where you're back in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you find... more terminals or like demon logs or something like that, and just read everything. So
demon logs.
I don't know what to call them. So Doom 16 starts. You're in a sar. You're
took me a sec.
Forrest got it.
Fucking toilet humor we got going on here.
What, demons have wood?
Man, I tell you what, I laid a demon log today. Let me tell you what. I'll tell you what, for little boy. Anyway. When so Doom 16, did you ever finish it?
I have not, but it's still one of those games that I don't finish lots of games.
Me
I've got
either.
Such a fucking backlog of games to go back through, but mm-hmm. it's still one of those games that like resonates that I can still pick up and be like, shit, like it's intense. Like it's got it'll kind of raise my blood pressure playing it a little bit, and it's not just because I'm old, but it's because you know it's got a lot of nail driving to it.
Well, the part I wanted to bring up was with the lore in that game. So it opens up and you're in that, you're in a sarcophagus,
mm-hmm.
right? Or something similar. You don't find out till later on that I guess the Doom Slayer, which is the character you play, the Doom guy.
Slayer.
You have been, is that a cricket?
Yeah, those are crickets.
Shit. Anyway, you have been in hell running amok. For years.
It's implied centuries.
Yes, centuries. And hell has been scared to death of you. And they finally, what they do is they lure you into a mountain, and they dropped a fucking mountain
yep.
on him. That was the only way to stop him.
Isn't that fucked up?
Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
That is so metal. I just want to hear... I just want that, but I want a mod for it where the entire soundtrack is done by Meatloaf. I love Mick Gordon's soundtrack to death. But it doesn't feel like Doom to me.
You want to hear that he would do anything for love, but he wouldn't do that, right?
He won't do that. I know it. He won't do that, and that's why I have no respect for Meatloaf. Thank you for the Meatloaf podcast. This was Gamer DA.
I just want to know what happens by the dashboard lights. That's all. I mean, that's what I'm.
I hear it's paradise.
In. It is paradise. But yeah, do you guys have any closing thoughts on Doom? Any last-minute hot takes on Doom?
Yeah, I like the Doom movie.
That is a hot take.
Okay, I don't like the Doom movie, but I like it in the same way I like the Resident Evil movie and the Mortal Kombat movie. And the
I watched
Hill
that the other day because I don't own it anymore, but it was free on Vudu with ads.
What was it?
Mortal Kombat? Resident Evil.
Oh, damn, I was going to make
it. I haven't watched it in a long time.
You can look into my soul, but you don't own it.
Wow, Liu Kang.
Wow, you actually knew what I was quoting, who I was quoting from, and...
Shut up. Like, I don't know.
You know the fucking timestamp
where it
was. I
saw that fucking movie in theaters. You can kiss my ass.
You don't like Mortal Kombat. You suck at it.
I do, but I love that movie, even though it's shitty.
It is. It's not that bad.
It's a guilty pleasure, and the Doom movie is a guilty pleasure.
It is, just like Judge Dredd. Best video game movie.
Don't you dare touch my Judge Dredd. Don't you even speak of Dredd.
So that is our our last minute thoughts.
Yeah,
on...
no. There's I got no hot button issue or nothing. Doom's just awesome, and I foresee it continuing on. There may be another lull like there was between 12 and 16, but technically, if you want to think about it,
yeah, it was from like 2005 to 2016.
Yeah,
there was a lull.
Yeah, there was a pretty big lull on there, but they had Resurrection of Evil, and then the BFG edition. I think the BFG edition was just to hold us over because they knew they were going to do another one.
That was around the time I think they got started on Doom 4.
Only if Mass Effect would have done the same thing and released.
Oh, please. That'd have been great. Here's Mr. Gifford. Mass Effect Andromeda is terrible. He loves that game.
I figured if anybody would, he would. I don't know. I've played worse games, but if I'm going to sit down and spend that kind of time frame on a video game, I would like for it to be better.
At least be good. Well, once again, each to his own.
Time is fleeting.
Your old buddy Dustin loves Andromeda, and I give him so much shit for
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. He won't even play Mass Effect 2 because he likes Andromeda. So
what?
Yeah.
What?
What's wrong with this person? And he listens to this. I hope you're listening.
Dude, he needs his... Dustin, I'm going to kick your ass.
That was the best. 2 was one of the best.
2 was pretty amazing.
By a long shot, it was
1 was okay. I liked 1 a lot. 2 was amazing.
Because
it was perfect combat. It was perfect storytelling. Mm-hmm. Perfect difficulty.
I don't know.
Perfect sexy fun times.
I noticed that for 2, when it came to having money as a resource, if you didn't do every single mission and side mission, you wouldn't have enough money to do everything you wanted.
But that was the thing. The game made it so much fun that you wanted to do.
Right, no, I'm not arguing that point. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It was so much fun you did the side mission, so...
You went and probed Uranus.
It is true.
I love that part because you got Edie the AI and you go to Uranus and you go to send a probe. And she goes, "Really, Shepard?"
Probing Uranus.
So you shoot another probe. She's like, "Probing Uranus."
Best Doom game, 20 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Best game.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Gamer DA. We have doomed you with our Doom talk.
Nice.
Beep.
Bye. I can tell you're the lead writer.
Yep. You can catch us at what's our Facebook, Josh?
Gamer discretion advised.
That's it. Nothing
Facebook.
Fancy.
Nope.
No @s or .coms or we have a .com.
Yes,
GamerDA.com. You can reach us there, and you can also send us emails at GamerDA. No.
Nope, that's
yes.
wrong.
It's podcast@gamerda.com.
podcast@gamerda.
Is this a hot quiz for us?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. We didn't rehearse.
Pop quiz.
We didn't rehearse our own shit.
We should know it by now. We've been doing this
long
enough.
Saying it on like 1,000 episodes now.
I'm sorry. I'm too busy playing Doom.
Right. And you can also reach us on Twitter, GamerDA1. Follow us on Twitter. It would be nice to have you yell at us and we'll yell at you and... We'll have an argument.
Everyone will be yelling.
Yep. It'll be just like my childhood. So, but yeah, that'll do it, guys.
Come tell us about your childhood.
Tell us about your Doom stories.
Right.
If you have any.
That's it. See you guys next week.
Peace. Bye.